Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and Hollywood, California, it's Scarycast. This is Dr. John. I hope everyone's having a wonderful, wonderful evening. And if you're listening to this later, a wonderful, wonderful day. We've got an awesome show tonight. First of all, I want to say hello to my co-host and co-conspirator in charge, Devin Tate Stricker. How are you doing, Devin?
Well, hello there, Dr. John. I am doing really good. It's a nice, cool evening here in Hollywood.
Oh, that's great. It's as hot as all get out here in Myrtle Beach. We were sweltering on the boardwalk, but it was a lot of fun. Glad to have you here. And I will tell everyone, we just got done with the Cape Fear Comic Con in Wilmington, North Carolina. Big success. We had our second annual Up All Night Film Festival, which is going to turn into the Hollywood East Film Festival coming in next year on March the 2nd. So that's some interesting news. Second of all, we have that major announcement that came about the ruling on behalf of Comic-Con International, which means Salt Lake City and all the rest of us that run Comic-Cons can no longer use the name Comic-Con. The sister broadcast to this show, which is Comic-Con Stars, will undergo a new name for next week. We're working on that, and all the Comic-Cons produced by myself and my associates will have new names as well. So lots of crazy things going on. Hopefully next week we can talk a little bit about that. I've got several attorneys who are friends, and I'm going to get their opinions, and we're going to see if we can't have one of them on, because it's kind of an important deal in the culture of Comic-Cons and in the culture of Scarycast. So that's what we've got going on next week. And I'd like to introduce the head Krampus in the room from Charleston, South Carolina, Rob Kelly. Rob, good evening. What's up in Charleston?
Hey, Dr. John. It's hot down here as well. We don't have no cool nights. Hot and sticky.
Yeah. Well, that's good. We were glad to have you at Cape Fear Comic Con, number one. And number two, I've got to share with everybody, you and I started our comic and pop culture careers almost at the same time. I don't know if you remember, but I was looking around on Facebook trying to find cosplayers to invite to my very first Cape Fear Comic Con, and I saw this dude with Darkseid Creations and some scary looking masks. I said, well, maybe he'll fit in as a cosplayer. So I started talking with you. We talked on the phone, and then I don't think we've stopped talking since, have we?
No, not for very long.
That's exactly right. Well, glad to have you on here. And you and I were talking one night. I had been invited by historic Camden, South Carolina, the Revolutionary War battlefield and campus, where they have these incredible things such as the Joseph Kershaw House, McCrae's Tavern, and a lot of good stuff. I was invited to put together a couple of events. So we were talking, and I said, why don't we do a Krampus Festival? And I think you said, yeah, that's a good idea. Why? Tell everybody, because not everyone knows who the Krampus is. He's really a part of both German and now American culture. So, Rob, kick it off and tell us about the Krampus.
Well, like you have in any sort of old culture or any sort of new culture for that matter, you know, everybody has a way of trying to scare kids into behaving. So here in America, where we generally just tell kids they're not going to get presents on Christmas if they don't behave well, you know, that tends to work. But in the old times or in the old countries, Krampus was more of a Bavarian or Germanic legend. And he was a Christmas demon that came the night before the Feast of St. Nicholas, on December 5th, and basically rounded up and punished all of the bad kids that didn't deserve presents. So, you know, in those days, you not only did you not get candy or you didn't get presents, you got up in a big burlap sack and taken off by a Christmas demon. So the consequences for misbehaving then seem to be a little more extreme than what we do now.
Well, yeah. I mean, what kind of punishments in general were doled out or supposedly doled out by the Krampus?
Well, they were all, you know, it's one of the great things about old legends and all like this is that it all varies out from community to community. And, it, you know, even though it all generally establishes in one kind of centralized idea, there are so many different variations of it. But many of your original Krampuses were seen with chains, where they would chain kids up, or they would have baskets on their back, or sacks or something that they would stuff these kids in to take them away. And basically, you know, they just gathered up all these really bad kids. They'd walk around with whips or switches and spank them and put them in these bags and carry them back to their land where, you know, the legends go everything from they ate them to they turned them into slaves or all types of different ideas.
Wow. Now, Devin, since you're our movie and our media guy, I want to draw a parallel. And I hope you'll agree. If you do, good. And if you don't, you don't. But M. Night Shyamalan did, after he finished The Sixth Sense, he came up with that movie, The Village. Mm-hmm. Now, it seems to me that, Devin, do you know that movie?
I don't know. I've watched a lot of his films, but not that one.
Yeah, it was not very popular. And what happened was, as a way to, The Village was set up by a group of people that did not like the way the world was working. And they brought their families to a very remote part of some state where I guess it's Pennsylvania, but I don't know. And whenever the kids would get unruly or start causing problems, this very Krampus-looked monster would tend to come out and scare the daylights out of them. And the parents were forced in on it. And it seems as though, whether he intended so or not, and we need to find out, maybe, you know, Devin, maybe we can get lucky and interview him here on ScaryCast. But it seems as though The Village is based around the Krampus legend, because they had a monster that was clearly, by the time we finished the movie, we know it was made up. It was somebody in a monster suit that scared the heck out of the kids and kept them from wanting to go out in the woods and explore and see the fact that they were actually living in a commune. So it appears as though the Krampus has been around, and that was, gosh, you know, when was Sixth Sense? When did that come out? That was at least 20 years ago, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, The Village, you know, came out in 2004.
Okay, now you got 13, 14 years. And, I mean, that is one of the first evidences of something like the Krampus to scare kids. And, you know, I guess in our politically correct culture, they'd say, oh, it's not a good thing to scare kids and all. But you know what? Keeping people in line is important. And back in the day, they certainly had to keep people in line. I mean, you know, they didn't have all the wonderful protections that we have. They didn't have the technology we have where we could follow everybody. They had to, the way they had to scare people into being good. So, I mean, that's kind of what the Krampus symbolizes. As I've told people about the Krampus Festival, some people say, oh, wow, this is great. And some people give me a real turned off look and say, well, that's evil, that's terrible. And I say, well, it's not exactly what they did in Germany. We don't spank kids, we don't do whatever. But we let them know that there might be a bad side and there might be consequences to their bad behavior. Now guys, is that such a is it terrible kids know that there might be consequences to their bad behavior? That's a toss-up.
You know,
10 points. What do you think?
I feel like it's a definite plus, and I feel totally ripped off that I did not have the Krampus around when I was growing up, because I was a great kid. I never did anything wrong, but there was plenty of kids that were total assholes, and nothing ever happened to them. They really should have had the fear of the Krampus put into them.
Well, and you know, the punishment now is that you get you get 9 presents instead of 10, or we only spend $900 instead of 1,000. So I mean, certainly a whole lot less dramatic than getting dragged off in a burlap bag.
Right, and I'll say I'm going to represent all three of us in this statement. It is not right to punish or hurt kids, but it's important to let them understand that there are consequences to bad behavior. But that doesn't allow anyone to do anything wrong, to put a kid in a closet and lock them in there, to do anything bad for them. That is not an excuse for that. But moderation.
No, when I think in modern culture. The Krampus is really gone. It's really evolved even today into more of a less of a consequence status, into more of just a fun cultural aspect that just adds to the season.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what it ought to be. But it's a lesson that actions do have consequences. But again, no parents or no guardians or no one has the right to. Do anything wrong to a kid. That's not what I don't think that's what any of us are about. And I'm certain because I know the two gentlemen on this call very well. And I think we all agree, but a little bit of stern dictation can sometimes help the behavior of young people. And I think that's what the whole purpose of the Krampus was, but it's a scary thing. Now, there was a movie. Who has seen the movie that came out a little bit ago about the Krampus?
Oh, I did.
All right. Now, who's that? Is that Devin?
That was me.
Or Robert?
It was Robert.
Robert, tell
me. I'm going to watch anything that has Krampus in the title.
But tell us a little bit about it, because, frankly, I haven't seen it, and I haven't had a chance to look at it in preparation for tonight. But what was it about?
Well, I mean, it's just a variation on the Krampus legend, and I mean, there's probably a dozen movies really about it too. That one was just really more of your high end, Hollywood type movie, but it was done well. The character was pretty cool. It gave a nice little spin on it, and it was just about a family that had a Germanic grandmother, and she had experienced the Krampus when she was a kid, and it was a nice kind of, I guess, upper class family, and children were rude and misbehaving and spoiled and selfish, and eventually they kind of incurred the wrath of the Krampus, and the movie was just their interactions with him.
Wow. Very interesting. Well, we'll have some interesting interactions with Krampus because what we're going to do, a neat take on how the Krampus might be involved in Christmas in potentially Victorian and Edwardian England. Dickens has become a very, very popular guy. For Christmas, as we all know, there are Dickens markets, Dickens festivals, all this, and they're wonderful. And what we're going to do at the International Krampus Festival, and I don't mind sharing this because I think it'll get some excitement, we're going to have a bit of a reenactment about Dickens' Christmas Carol because, we've got the Ghost of Christmas Past, Present, and Future. We've got Tiny Tim. We've got Bob Cratchit. We've got Ebenezer Scrooge. Based on that whole cast of characters, we're going to see them reenact some of the scenes from The Christmas Carol by Dickens. When that ends, we're going to have some kids become the focal point of this play and then become, unbeknownst to them, to become chased by the Krampuses. And once the Krampuses and the kids chase each other down to the Christmas lighted Christmas village, at Historic Camden. It's going to be wonderful. The consequences and the ending of it's going to be a surprise and a lot of fun. So we're going to take advantage of the great site that we have to illustrate how the Krampus can actually fit in, and this time to a Dickens Christmas party or Christmas festival. And I think that's the kind of thing that, you know, that people will enjoy. We're working fast, furious, and hard on it because we only have about 3.5 months left to go. So it'll be kind of good. Now, Rob, what experiences, how did you get interested in the Krampus?
Well, it's just a legend. I'm always interested in everything creepy, cool, and scary. But I had just met a few individuals just through the industry that had enjoyed making Krampus costumes and participating in these Krampus events. And I thought, wow, that sounds like a lot of fun. And I thought, you know, if we could just get past the stigma of people believing that it was some sort of evil alternative to regular Christmas events, rather than it just being just a fun little aspect of the season that just kind of adds to, which is really what it's seen in Europe, that I think people would really enjoy it. And the more I looked into it, the more I realized there were already very large, very well-organized Krampus events really all over the United States. And I had been kind of in an uphill battle with a lot of everything here in South Carolina, trying to see if we can find some people that would be interested in doing these things and possibly participating. And in the process of that, you find that there's actually a lot of people in South Carolina and close to here that, you know, that also kind of share just in finding the legend interesting and just in enjoying just the general aspect of having something extra around that Christmas season. The last 2 or 3 years I've been building Krampus costumes and making Krampus masks and just kind of doing my best to try to make it seen a little bit more around here.
Well, yeah, and that's what we're trying to do up at Historic Camden. Two things. Number one, we're going to have a Dickens Christmas market because people do love that. It's a lot of fun. And then we're going to augment the standard presentation that we have of Dickens Christmas and buying lots of neat presents. We're going to try to integrate that with the Krampus. So, number one, it won't be such a shock to everybody, but number two, they'll get the message. And number three, it's going to be just a lot of fun. Because that's what we're really all about when we put these events together.
Sure.
And so I think that if we do this right, like we're working very hard to, we'll have a wonderful festival. We'll have two festivals in one. We'll have a Dickens Christmas Festival for just outside of Columbia, South Carolina. And then we'll also have the Krampus Festival. And that's really what it's all about, to have fun and maybe get a subliminal message with some kids that, you know, be good. It really helps the world, and it can help you. It was real funny. We, Cody and I do caricatures, as a lot of you know, and we had a very interesting thing happen. We had several people today get extremely mad at us for absolutely no reason. And toward the end of the evening, we had a couple sit down from Ohio. They turned out to be the nicest, most engaging people you've ever met. And while Cody was talking to them, I was talking to them, and he sat there. He drew probably the best caricature of his life. And I told this couple, I said, you know what? The reason you got such a good caricature of yourself is because you were nice to us. I'd never really thought about it, but Cody agreed with me. The nicer people are, the more you want to work for them and the more you want to help them and do something good. And I think that's one lesson. In fact, Rob, we probably should put together a little short book about lessons learned from the Krampus so that no one can say, well, we're trying to do that or whatever. But, you know, I'm talking about good lessons that kids and adults can learn. What do you think about that?
Sure. There's no shortage of needing lessons in good behavior in this country.
Well, that's exactly right. I think that would be a good thing to have that attendees could get a copy of and learn that, you know, Krampus might be a little bit better off for us than we think. Devin, I want to get back to you because you and I have had some conversations,
And we're hoping that we can get you over here for the first annual International Krampus Festival. Are you still interested in us trying to work that out?
I'm definitely interested in that. And I think I might introduce another set of characters while I'm there, if I can make it. I'm not sure if you've heard of the Yule Lads, but they're kind of similar in a similar vein to Krampus, but this is an Icelandic folklore. So instead of
having a
Krampus, yeah, they have 13 little troublemakers, basically, who come and wreak
Very
havoc on
cool.
your house. Yeah, there's 13 of them, but some of the more interesting ones is the Glugaglager, which is a window peeper. So he looks through your windows to see what he can steal. And then there's a Askeliker, which is the bowl licker. He'll wait till you aren't looking at your bowl, and then he'll steal it and eat the food out of it. And then there's the Gateplefur, which is the doorway snipper. So he has an abnormally large nose, and he uses that to locate food in your house.
And there,
wow.
you know,
now,
it's great that you should say that, because there's a lot of modern Krampus events. That because, you know, cultures change and interchange so much so widely now, that you actually do see a lot of those characters involved in some of the Krampus parades also.
Wow, well then we need to talk, because this could be a really wonderful addition to the traditional Krampus persona that we're trying to show. So yeah. That's something we definitely need to talk about, and frankly, we ought to do a full show about them. So, Devin, if you can help us work on that, I think it'd be a lot of fun, and people would enjoy it. But you know, these great myths are just so cool. I mean, they entertain, they educate, and they do a lot of good things. So this is Icelandic. Do we know about what time they're attributed to? Like, we're talking about 400s, 500s, or around 1000. AD or whatever. Do we know about when they're attributed?
I have no idea.
Yeah. I mean, they're old pagan beliefs, so it's hard to pin down a general frame. They're old, though.
Yeah, if they're pagan. Now, I've got some good friends that are heavily involved in the pagan community, and I can talk to them and get more information. But I tell you what, Devin, that's a great thing to add, and let's talk about that a little bit more and see how we can effectively do that. I really like that idea. It's very appealing. When did you first hear about these characters?
I heard about them, and I went to Iceland back in 2005 and 2006. So it was on one of those trips, I believe. One time was in October, so it was probably that when it was a little closer to the holiday season.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. We'll certainly talk more about them, and those are some good legends to add to what we're trying to do. So, Rob, tell us a little bit about how you prepare a Krampus costume. I know that the first time that I saw you do it, you did the night before Comic-Con Christmas with us up in Wilmington, North Carolina, and I think it was 2.5 years ago. Tell us how you build and prepare to become the Krampus.
Well, the great thing about Krampus is that they're so varied, and that there's so many different interpretations of the creature. I mean, they all generally kind of sit around the same base. They're more like they're traditionally seen as a goat-like type demon, covered in fur, horns, etc. If you look back into older Germanic culture, I mean, most of these guys were just wearing, they just made general handmade masks with fur, and they might wear like a fur vest or something. They certainly weren't as elaborate as they are now. But a lot of these artisans that in Germany and Austria, the traditional Krampus masks that are used over there are really made out of, these guys are incredible wood carvers. And those masks are really just wooden carved pieces of art, and then they're done with your Icelandic sheepskin or goat wool and hides of that nature. Now, of course, over here, it's not as easy for us to get a hold of those types of things. So as a mask maker, you know, I've done a lot of sculpting, and we've done latex masks and horns and things of that nature. We generally have to satisfy ourselves with some of the better looking craft fur that we could find, and throw what type of hides and everything that we can find onto those. But all Krampuses generally have a general idea. They usually one of the things that they're known for traditionally, and that you could say might even coincide with a lot of our Christmas ideas now, is the sleigh bells. And Krampuses always have big sleigh bells on them, where you could hear them coming down the roads on Krampusnacht, on the night that they came in to gather these kids. So
it was no surprise, was it?
Oh no! You heard them coming. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, it certainly wasn't held from these kids in those times. You know, they knew that they knew about the Krampus. They knew the consequences of the Krampus, and they knew that on Krampusnacht that you can hear them out there in the streets. So you were just hoping that if you were a little bad, maybe you just weren't bad enough that you were getting taken away.
Yep. Well, that's going to be a lot of fun. And with Devin, with what Devin's got, you know, adding some of those other legends, and I think building them together, that's what people really do like.
And there's a lot of them that are really, really great. I mean, there's also, you see in a lot of your European festivals, you see the images of Frau Perkta, which is another Christmas monster, if you will, that was really found more in the northern Germany parts, which was a witch that in essence would take the bad kids and take them back to her hut and eat them. So, you know, there's lots of other Christmas, where Krampus generally tends to be the more well-seen and certainly more well-celebrated. He's definitely not alone when it comes to the Christmas monsters that generally ascertain that same basic idea of trying to push good behavior on kids and giving a consequence.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. That's some great background. So I tell you what, now, Devin, we hope that you're going to be able to come over here and enjoy this festival with us. So have you had any experience? I mean, we've got the Krampus for Christmas, but have you had any other experience? Because you've got a lot of rich experience being out there in Hollywood, of any other monsters kind of encroaching on our holidays. Now, maybe the answer is no, but it might be yes, and I wanted to find out your take on that.
Yeah, not so much other monsters, but obviously the film Nightmare Before Christmas is such a huge thing now, both for Halloween and Christmas, because it kind of works for both of them. So I think that's kind of a cool crossover. I just love anything that adds different dimensions to the holidays. So I think Krampus and that kind of thing is just really cool, especially for adults, you know, because you get kind of tired of Santa Claus after a few decades. So, but I really, before the International Krampus Festival, I do want to watch this Krampus film, because I see that Toni Collette is one of the stars of it, and I just love her. She was in Hereditary, which is probably my favorite movie of this year.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great. Yeah, absolutely, you should. And you know what we could do? We've got some time on Saturday, and actually Friday evening after the Craft Beer Festival, and I hope everyone can enjoy that with me. I'll be leading the pack on that one for sure. But, you know,
is there going to be a Krampus beer?
Now, we're working on some things. We're working on two things, and one might be something like that, but very astute of you. Yeah, we're looking to try to do some things that would really help celebrate the Krampus. But we might try to grab a couple of those movies, because I think folks would enjoy them. And be kind of a laid-back event. We're having our Dickens Christmas Market. A lot of folks can come in and they can buy some things, really, really nice crafts, and then continue to celebrate the Krampus. So we'll see what we can do to get some of those films. And, of course, we'd love for you to go ahead and take a look at a couple of them so
So you and Rob and our other star, which is Papa Stro Maestro, is actually going to be coming on Scarycast here in a couple of weeks. He loves the Krampus, and he has his sidekick, Dorothy, the doll that has a lot of look of something from The Omen or The Conjuring. So, you know, he's going to have Dorothy with him, and I think it all fits together. So I think we'll have a good time there, and so that'll be good. So I'll tell you what. Now, it's about time. I wanted to get some comments just on the Krampus and this upcoming Christmas season. I mean, when I say this upcoming Christmas season, we barely have more than 3.5 months until Christmas. So I will start with our guest, Rob Kelly. And Rob, any comments you have about the Krampus, the upcoming Christmas season, and any comments you would like to make about the Krampus Festival? What you got?
Well, we're hoping we do have a Facebook page put together, and that is you can find that under Krampus Festival, and we're hoping, we're still trying to spread this word around and trying to not only attract people that would enjoy coming out and just enjoy the festival alone, but also try and reach some of those people out there that might either want to or already do have some sort of Krampus costume or just looking for something to participate as far as Krampus parade, because that's really what's gonna make it fun. You know, the more Krampuses, obviously, the more fun we're gonna have. So that's really what we're hoping to attract, and hoping that we can get a hold of some more Krampus Krampus enthusiasts and people out there that are just, you know, looking for something fun to do and not only visit it but participate in it as well.
And I'll certainly agree with that. So thanks for that insight and that projection of what we need to do to make this thing better and more fun. Even though it hasn't started yet, we want to make it better and more fun than it possibly could be. So now, Devin.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was just thinking, because last year I went to the Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights, where they have all the different mazes that you can go through, and they had one based off Krampus, which was really, really cool and really different for Halloween, I thought, to have like kind of a house with snow and all decorated for the holidays, but then obviously something had gone very wrong. But I looked online, and they're not doing that one this year. So hopefully somebody else will pick up that mantle, because I think it would be really fun to go to some sort of haunted house Halloween experience that was based on Krampus.
That's interesting. Kind of gives me the old jaw drop thing, because why wouldn't they want to continue it? I mean, maybe there's some social pressures or whatever. But, you know, we do live in 2018, and we can do a lot of neat things, and hopefully people will take them wrong. So that's interesting. I'd love to hear, you know, when we have a chat sometime soon, I'd like to hear a little bit more about how that worked. So I guess what I'll say is I can't thank Historic Camden and Margaret Buckaloo and one of their board members, Dr. Trey Dunaway, who has helped the International Krampus Festival going. We're going to have a marvelous time. It starts on November the 30th with craft beer, and then we'll see if we can't add some of the things, some of the ideas that we have batted back and forth today or tonight on our show. And then on Saturday, we're going to have the Dickens Christmas Market again, like we will Friday. We'll have more craft beer. We'll have the presentation of the Dickens Christmas Carol, and the Krampus is coming down the hill. Mayhem in the Lighted Christmas Village. After dinner at the tavern, we're going to have ghost stories by the bonfire, and finally a paranormal tour of Historic Camden, which I think people are going to really like. There's an enormous amount of history, and it's going to be a lot of fun. This is one of those historical sites that is never boring, and people do enjoy it. So I guess what I'll say, I'll go around and get a quick goodbye from everybody. But I'll say, you know, thanks to everybody for listening tonight, and we hope you talk more about the Krampus, and folks hear this podcast as we move into what we'll call Krampus season, which is November the 30th to December the 2nd,
historic Camden in Camden, South Carolina. So, Devin, what kind of farewell do you have for everyone tonight?
Well, I do just want to remind anyone who may be in the Hollywood, California area this Christmas season that we will be doing Jollywood, which is our holiday pop-up, on December 8th in the heart of Old Hollywood, and maybe there will be a Krampus there.
Let me know what dates those are. Maybe I can sneak out there on a get a good plane flight and get out there. That sounds like a lot of fun. So thank you very much for that. And Rob Kelly, our guest from tonight, what have you got to say in closing?
Well, before we get to Christmas, we got to get through Halloween. So we just want to wish everybody a happy haunting season. Everybody's getting, hopefully, everybody's getting ready for a nice, fun Halloween, and then us on and forward to a very merry Krampus.
That's great. And I'll say that too. We've also got, and Devin, you and I have talked about this. We've got to get ready for Halloween, but then here comes the Krampus. So we're going to have a lot of fun this fall. And it's only August, but I'll tell you what, Halloween, October 31st, and International Krampus Festival Day, which is going to be the 1st of December. Those are just a shake away, so we got to get ready for them and get ready to have a good time. So on behalf of our host, Devin and myself, we'd like to wish everyone a happy and exciting week, and let's look forward to Halloween and the Krampus. So everybody take care,
yep.
And we'll see you next week on Scarycast.
Talk to you soon.